coming up.
Today at about 11:54 hours this morning, officers from the Farmington Police Department were asked to respond to Mr. Dulos' residence. They could see through a window that Mr. Dulos was sitting in his vehicle, and he had obvious signs of medical distress.
For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime. It's been about a year since a man by the name of Fotis Dulos was found unconscious in his garage in Connecticut. He was later pronounced dead. He was caught up, in fact, charged in connection with the death of his estranged wife, Jennifer Dulos. It was an ongoing story in Connecticut for quite a while, and then all of a sudden it just sort of came to this conclusion, if we can call it that. On today's show, I'm joined by Ben Goldman at Fox 61 in Hartford, Connecticut. And Ben, what can you recall for us, for people who are not familiar with the story, and it's a winding one, but what happened to Jennifer Dulos?
It was a case of a missing mother in New Canaan, but she had some ties to our area around Hartford, and her estranged husband at the time living in Farmington. And, you know, New Canaan is about an hour, hour and a half away from our station. It's really more part of the New York metro area. So typically we don't cover things that happen in New Canaan. But the fact that this had such a tie to our area in Farmington, it really, you know, piqued our interest. The fact that there were five children of these two individuals piqued our interest. But what really got to us was the fact that Fotis Dulos and his girlfriend, Michelle Draconis, were spotted in downtown Hartford, specifically the north end of Hartford, dumping trash bags in several different locations. You know, whenever you're looking back on a story that happened a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you remember the storyline as a whole, but you don't remember how exactly it started. But I remember where I was in the newsroom when we discovered Fotis Dulos dumping trash bags of what appeared to be evidence along with his girlfriend in multiple locations in Hartford. And that's really where all of this started.
So, Ben, as I mentioned, it's been about a year since we learned that Fotis Dulos was found dead inside his garage. And then you mentioned this first news, though, came in, I believe it was May of 2019, right? Almost half a year earlier, when Jennifer Dulos was missing. And again, 50 years old, the mother of five, right? And they had had some ongoing custody battles and a rather contentious divorce, right?
I mean, if you look at the litany of court appearances just for their divorce. So throughout this entire process, there was a divorce case and then the criminal case. Different lawyers, different hearings, two completely different situations. But if you look at the divorce case, which obviously, you know, whenever there's a news story about an individual or a couple, we always look up their names and look up if they have any records. And obviously, the divorce case came right up. And the long list of appearances and just going before a judge, it's just dismissals and changes of dates. It was pages long of this divorce, which goes to tell us, obviously, it was very contentious. Five kids are involved. He now has a girlfriend. I think what was so interesting about this, at least speaking just for me, Will, is the fact that from the outside, this couple looked like they had the dream life. They had a life that anyone would aspire to. Beautiful mansion in Farmington, five children, private school, husband water skis, the vacations, everything looked perfect from the outside. And as we dug deeper, the unwinding started to unwind.
And by they, I mean Fotis Dulos and his girlfriend were arrested on charges that weren't directly related. I mean, they weren't murder or kidnapping. It had to do with tampering with evidence, right?
Yeah, they were charged with tampering with evidence and hindering prosecution. No one was charged with Jennifer's disappearance. In the back of our minds, we didn't know, and we still don't know, truly, what happened to Jennifer Dulos. Throughout this entire process of doing these news stories and interviewing lawyers and going to court appearances, you know, just doing our due diligence, we had to keep in the back of our mind, she could very well still be alive. Maybe she's the one who plotted all of this and she wanted to escape. You know, Fotis Doulos' lawyer, Norm Pattis, at the time, floated the Gone Girl theory, like the movie Gone Girl. There was no concrete evidence, really, of anything until we started to see these arrest warrants come out from state police. And, you know, one of Fotis Doulos' workers at the time was asked by Doulos to change out the seats in a pickup truck that Doulos was driving, apparently down to New Canaan that day. And the employee chose not to change those seats out. He changed them out, but he kept them. He kept the old seats. He turned them into police, and apparently they had blood on them. So little things like that, that probably being the biggest of the little things, started to come together and piece apart. And that really pointed the finger at these two individuals, but still there was went months and months without any serious charges against either of them.
And Ben, do you recall during all that time there were some occasional appearances by Fotis outside a courtroom and he would speak to the press, but there weren't like a lot of pleas to the public, right, about Jennifer, or am I wrong on that?
You know, there wasn't any specific plea to the public. The main line that he would continually say is, I love my children, I miss my children. You know, I think maybe a couple times he might have said, I'm praying that my wife is okay, but there was he didn't say much.
So we have this tragic disappearance, unexplained, unsolved disappearance of Jennifer Doulos back in May of 2019. The case unfolds. There's some evidence. There's, as you mentioned, Fotis and his girlfriend are seen dumping bags of trash, and then there's more evidence. Eventually, more serious charges are filed against Fotis and Michelle Tracones, right?
So let's go into that. Yeah, he was charged with felony murder, and kidnapping on January 7th. Michelle Tracones was arrested, charged with conspiracy to commit murder. And, you know, essentially what happened was Fotis Doulos got arrested the first time and, from my understanding, really had a hard time posting bond. He did not have a lot of money. His business was going into foreclosure. His properties were being taken over by the bank. He had spent all of his money on legal fees. I mean, the guy was underwater. And he really couldn't post bond. But somehow he did get released from jail the first time, I remember. And then he was ordered on house arrest with limited permissions to leave that house. A week later, his release conditions were then restricted after he was seen moving items from a memorial dedicated to Jennifer. So then, we're still in January of 2020. On January 28th, he was due back in court on issues related to that $6 million bond. This is when things really took a turn. He was, he knew that he had trouble posting bond the first time. And he was set to go back to court, and he had a feeling, I guess, that he was going to go back to jail. And he knew how hard it was to post bond the first time. And I don't think that he had any clue what was going to happen next. And that's when police went to go, police went and showed up at his home in Farmington where he was getting ready and found his car running inside of a closed garage and him inside of that car.
And then I know it was a few days later that finally it was announced that he was pronounced dead on January 30th at 52 years old. And he left a suicide note in his car, I recall.
He did, talking about his children, saying that his lawyer, Norm Pattis, would be able to prove his innocence. But, you know, it was such a scene. There was a woman from North Carolina in his home who was staying with him at the time. First name, Anna. I forget what her last name was. I think Anna Kent, Anna something. She was living with him, I guess. Maybe that's who he was seeing. We don't know. But she had run out And he did all of this while she was out of the house. He got airlifted out of the garage and brought to Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx. We followed that live on the air as it was happening, put into a hyperbolic chamber, and then he was obviously pronounced dead. What was interesting, since you and I've talked, well, the first time, and maybe, yeah, I think it was since you and I've talked, I interviewed his lawyer, Norm Pattis, and we did an extensive 20-minute, 30-minute interview on our air. And maybe if you want to go and check that out on Fox61.com, I know we still have it posted. And I asked him, I said, you know, in that suicide letter, obviously Doulos was rushed. You know, Anna was out of the house. He only had a few minutes to write a letter and get in his car and start it and try to take his own life. In that letter, in that rush state of mind, he only had one page to write. He mentioned you. He mentioned that you knew something that could prove his innocence. Why not say it? And he essentially said, it's not my place to say. The estate has asked me not to say anything, and the lawyers currently representing the estate have asked me not to speak on his behalf, but it's very, very, very difficult for me not to share that information. But I have to do it. It's his wish.
So that is Norm Pattis, no longer his attorney, right?
Correct.
And he has information, as he says, that he's not able to share.
Yeah. And I mean, you could watch the interview. I tried and tried to get it out of him. And just because the night that Doulos was pronounced dead, they did a press conference. And Norm, essentially, who's a very quick-witted and brilliant legal mind, really, if you ask me, stood in front of the microphones at a press conference and essentially, he almost broke down. And he said, what did I miss? What did I miss? It was my job to hold my client's hand through the darkest time. He relied on solely me. And I missed something. And, you know, he essentially was putting his death on his shoulders. And it was in a very emotional time for Norm. He takes his clients very seriously. And, you know, he was troubled by it. I think if you sat Norm down right now, he's still troubled by it because he obviously missed something. And he obviously knows something that nobody else seems to know about Fotis Doulos.
And, you know, we haven't gone into the fact that Fotis Doulos also had a friend, another attorney who was caught up in charges related to Jennifer's murder. But in the year since he died, Michelle Traconis, has she remained behind bars? What has happened, if anything?
So it's interesting. She's on Instagram and she's out and about. So she's not on house arrest. She is not behind bars. You can go on Instagram and I think her profile is public. See her, you know, pictures of her taking hikes, and she was permitted to travel down to Miami, Florida, to see her. I believe her father. I'm not sure, but no, she's not behind bars. The man that you mentioned is Kent Mawinney. He was a former attorney of Fotis Doulos and friend of his. He was also arrested on conspiracy to commit murder charges. He was just released from jail.
And is Michelle Traconis still facing a trial or charges?
Not that I know of. You know, we really have not heard from her at all. You know, she wrote this letter that was made public this summer. You know, she says, despite the way I've been treated by police, I know nothing about Jennifer Doulos' whereabouts or what may have happened to her. You know, I know that under American law, I don't have to prove my innocence, but actually to me, it feels that way during all of this time while under the public scrutiny. You know, to those who are quick to judge people they don't know, let me say this. It is possible to misjudge others. Whether or not Fotis Doulos was capable of doing the things that police and prosecutors accused him of doing, I don't know. But based on what I've learned the last year, I think it was a mistake to have trusted him.
So what, if anything, happens in a case like this, Ben? I mean, you've got the somebody charged, facing murder charges in connection to the death of his or the disappearance, what have you, of his estranged wife. Does it, there's sort of the legal side of things and then maybe the emotional impact that it has on people who live in Connecticut and follow this case so closely and certainly to family and friends. It just sort of like it just came to an end.
Well, I said this on the air this past fall that every day we were talking about the case surrounding Fotis Doulos. Where is Jennifer Doulos? Talking to attorneys. You know, if you live in the state of Connecticut, most of our state was fascinated by this entire story. Where is she? Why did he kill himself? What evidence is there? What does the lawyer know? It's all anyone could talk about. Until mid-February, early March, when something called COVID came around. And that dominated our coverage. That dominated everyone's minds. Still is dominating everyone's minds. But I said on the air that had COVID not come around, I still believe the Doulos case would be front and center in our minds here in the state of Connecticut. Because there are just, you're right, it just ended. And it makes no sense. Someone's got to know something other than Fotis Doulos. They've got to. And I really think the kids are, I think that's really the saddest part of all of this. You have a missing, presumed dead mother, a father who killed himself, and you've got five kids who, whenever they Google their last name, who are now living with their grandmother in Manhattan, young kids, and whenever they Google their last name, they're going to read these things about two parents that they're never going to see again.
Ben Goldman at Fox 61 in Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you so much for your time and talking to us about this case.
You bet. Well, thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Daily Crime. We're here every weekday, Monday through Friday. Be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a great review if you like what you hear. And if you'd like to learn more about the show and Vault Studios, check out our Facebook group, Inside the Crime Vault.